Hello, dear friends. It's a great privilege to be able to share something of the amazing, wonderful story of the truth of Jesus being alive. And to help us with that, we're going to look at this story from Luke's Gospel. Imagine the scene. Two people setting out on a journey from Jerusalem, something that would have happened every day. But to introduce us to the deeper significance of this story, of what was going on, and to link it into the wider story of what had happened, Luke tells us that this journey started on the same day, and that the two people setting out on this journey were two of them. And to understand what he means, we need to look back to the beginning of the chapter. And that starts with a reference to the first day of the week, Sunday, and what happened very early that morning. It tells a story of women going to the tomb of Jesus with spices to anoint his body. But when they get to the tomb, they find that the stone that had been placed in front of it would have been a cave. The stone had been rolled away, and that would have been surprising and disturbing enough, but then they find that the body of Jesus had disappeared. Thoughts must have gone through their minds. Has someone come and taken the body? And if so, why? Had they come to the wrong tomb? But they'd seen his body being laid there, so that's unlikely. Could they possibly hope that something miraculous had happened? And if so, what would that mean? Their thoughts, their discussions were interrupted by the dazzling appearance of two men who challenged them about why did they expect to find Jesus among the dead? He was no longer there, they said. He'd risen, just as he said would happen. He told them that he would be crucified, that he would die, but that he would rise again to life on the third day. And it was the third day. The women go back to the band of people who'd followed Jesus, including his closest friends. Tell them what they had seen, tell them what they had heard, but they were not believed. Peter, one of those closest followers, he did get up, he went to the tomb, he found it empty. He went away, wondering what had happened. Questions, but no real answers. The stirring of hope, but no certainty. And now, on the same day, two of them set off on this journey. Two people who were grieving the loss of Jesus, who had heard the story of the women, who had not believed what they heard. These two people are on a journey. But the journey will not be about going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The journey will be about entering into a deeper understanding of Jesus, a deeper understanding of what he had done and what that makes possible. So as they set out on their journey, they're consumed by loss and grief, but also confused about what they'd heard from the women. What did it all mean? And their doubt and uncertainty is not surprising. As good, believing, probably educated Jews, they would have been taught about a future resurrection from the dead, when all the righteous would be restored to life and live in peace with God. But the idea of just one person coming back to life before that time was strange and not something they would have expected. Yes, Jesus had restored people to life during his ministry. There were the odd occasions where that had happened in the past, but it was not normal. They still didn't fully understand who he was and what he had done. So they had questions. And in that moment, as they travel, Jesus comes and joins them, the risen Jesus, the one who has conquered death, the one who had come through all that people could do to him. That risen, victorious Jesus comes and joins them, and they don't recognise him. But he asks them what they're talking about. And they're amazed, he needs to ask. How could he have been so much unaware of what was going on? It'd be like someone coming up to us in town and asking, why is everyone wearing face coverings? Why are so many of the shops shut? Why are people keeping a distance from each other? We would wonder where this person had been for the last year to not be aware of all the impact COVID has had. And so they take time to explain what has happened. That Jesus, a mighty prophet who had performed powerful acts and said amazing things, had died. That he'd been taken and sentenced to death and killed, dashing their hopes that he was the one that God had sent to free their people. And then they outline what they're trying to understand, the things they haven't quite got their heads around. They acknowledge that it is the third day since this has happened, bringing to mind what Jesus had said before he died about being raised to life on the third day. They acknowledge the testimony of the women about the missing body and the angel saying that Jesus was alive. They acknowledge that others, that Peter had gone and found the tomb empty, but there was no sight of Jesus. So they know what had happened, but they don't understand what is going on. Can they dare to hope? Or do they run the risk of their hopes being dashed all over again? Isn't it safer to just wait and see what happens? And Jesus, in response, does not speak gentle words of comfort, recognising their loss and grief, but accuses them of being foolish and for not believing all that the prophets over the centuries had said about what would happen to the one that God was going to send. It was a wake-up call. It was a challenge. It was about entering more fully into who Jesus is. He was not just a prophet. He was the one who had been sent to suffer, to die, to be restored to life and to return back to his heavenly Father. And then Jesus takes time to explain this all to them from the scriptures they would have been familiar with, our Old Testament, so they could see all of those writings in a new light in relation to him. And then over the course of a shared meal, they recognise who Jesus is, and suddenly everything falls into place. It all makes sense. Jesus had done what he came to do. Jesus has done what he said he would do. Jesus has gone through death and was wonderfully and powerfully alive. And desperate to tell the story, they return to Jerusalem with all fears and doubts and confusion left behind in Emmaus. And as they get back to share what has happened, they find that Jesus has been there ahead of them, and has now appeared to Simon, the one who had earlier went to the tomb and found it empty. And so they add their voices to the story, and the understanding deepens about Jesus and the reality of his risen life. This is a story that many of us have heard and thought about many times. It is a story that some of us may be just hearing for the first time. But whether we've heard it before or this is our first encounter with it, it's a story that should encourage and challenge each one of us. The simple but amazing fact that it points to is that Jesus is alive. Yes, he endured a terrible death for us all, but he has defeated death. He has come back to life. He is still alive today and will be forever. Death no longer needs to be the end of our stories, as it has been defeated by Jesus. Because of that, he's able to offer us new life, a deeply satisfying life, today, tomorrow, and the certain hope of life with him forever. The two people travelling to Emmaus had come to realise that Jesus was a prophet. That was an important step, but it was not enough. They had not understood who he really was. God's Son, sent into the world to restore creation and humanity to its proper relationship with God. And Jesus explained some of this to them, and they were drawn into a deeper understanding of who he was. They recognised him in a new and deeper way. Is our awareness of Jesus deep enough? Do we think of him just as a good man? Do we think of him as someone who's there to help us when times are hard? Do we recognise the totality of all that he really is? God's Son, God's Messiah, the one that God had sent, the Saviour of the world, Lord of all, the one who will reign and rule forever. God himself among us as a human being. The two people who had spent this precious time with Jesus could have stayed in Emmaus and just enjoyed what they'd been told and experienced. But instead they got up, they went back to Jerusalem to share this amazing and wonderful good news. It was too good to keep for themselves. And as they got back ready to tell their story, the words they were greeted with were, "It is true, the Lord has risen." The story we have heard, the story many of us live in, is too good to keep to ourselves. When we receive good news about lots of things, the birth of a baby, the success of a family member, the marriage of a couple we love, we get excited. We want to share that with as many people as we can in as many ways as we can. Let's seek opportunities to share this wonderful news about the risen Jesus with those we spend time with, those we meet, those we care about, so they can come to live in the reality of it as well. We have faced difficult challenges in the year that is past. There are, and there will be, many difficult challenges in the year ahead. But the reality that Jesus is alive changes everything. It does not get rid of those challenges, it does not get rid of those difficulties, but it gives us a new perspective, a new way in which we can engage with them and live through them. It gives us hope, it gives us confidence, it offers the chance of an exciting and wonderful and fully satisfying life. Let's live in the reality of that and encourage each other as we journey together in the company of the risen Jesus. Here are some questions to think about. How would you describe Jesus to someone who did not know about him? What impact does the fact that Jesus is alive have on your life? How can you best share this wonderful news with someone else? Have a time to think about those. We'll talk about them on Sunday. But as we do that, let's live in the reality and the enjoyment and the privilege of knowing that Jesus is alive and he offers to share that risen life in a deep and powerful way with each one of us. May God bless us richly as we experience what that means once again.